Agenda item 5F is legislative bills SB 1448, HB 2037, HB 2231, HB 2569, and HB 2146. Wow, what a...
And the board members get to hear this over and over and over again. Senate Bill 1448 doesn't really affect this committee. It does affect the board. It has to do with when the board raises fees, it has to take into consideration changes in the consumer price index from the last time fees were raised. Go figure that one out. 2037 is the board's bill, which allows for the endorsement, license by endorsement under certain conditions. It has gone through its third read and gone back to the House, so it should be on its way to the governor's office fairly soon. House Bill 2231 was the bill that created this, the government registration and government certification that nobody really knew who would issue it, and it really had no authority. It died in third read. I searched yesterday for any strike alls, and I didn't see anything. House Bill 2569 is going to be a complication to our endorsement bill. That's a bill that the governor put through Senator Peterson. It's also, if somebody has a license in another state and they can get a license here without having to go through all the requirements of the application. The difference between, big difference between our bill and that bill, there's two big differences. Our bill applies to everybody. That bill, it applies to residents. It does say notwithstanding any other law. So it may be that if somebody's a resident of the state of Arizona, it would preempt the bill that the board passes, which would not take into account the concerns you had about the reports.
What's the status on it?
It's a passed. Lost. It passed. It's been signed for the governor. The governor's been putting it out there to the press. It is a done deal. If you like, I can read you the applicable, unless you don't want to be tortured. So anyway, if they both become law, then we'll need the AG's office to help us figure out which one applies and when it doesn't.
When it applies.
Yeah. And then 2146 is the one we brought up earlier. Two parties can enter into a contract waiving the requirement for licensure if certain conditions exist. One is the subject of the contract is substantially delivered by electronic means, which, of course, what does that mean? So whether or not...
The subject of the what?
The subject of the contract is substantially delivered by electronic means.
Using drones to conduct home inspections.
Well, this is a law not just for home inspectors.
Correct.
It's a one-size-fits-all. It does exempt engineers and architects.
Now my statement
did
makes
that
more
go
sense.
Through,
it's still going through the process, so it's not a for sure. It's been stuck for a while, so we'll see.
To back up to the one before that, we have a law that the board put through, and that passed as well. So we got two laws that are saying pretty much the same thing, but not.
Kind of that's it. It hasn't passed yet. It probably will. So essentially, one of them says applies to people who are residents of this state. Mm-hmm. That's the governor's bill. Mm-hmm. Our bill applies to everybody mm-hmm. who wants to get a license here. The governor's bill requires 1 year licensure in the other jurisdiction. Has to be similar to our licensure. It can't just be a title act.
So it's going to be either or, isn't it?
It will probably come down to are they a resident or they're not a resident.
Right.
That's my guess.
For a year?
With the governors, they need to be licensed for a year. They don't have to be a resident for a year. They just have to be a resident. They have to be licensed in the other state for a year.
Yeah, right.
Our endorsement is 5 years. So, but I'm guessing it's probably going to be an either or.
So ours is only going to apply to people who don't live here. Because you're saying that this first one, this governor's bill, will apply to residents.
Yes.
And so if someone moves here, and if someone didn't move here, someone comes in here and wants to do a home inspection, our bill would apply.
Yeah.
But if he comes in here and moves in, then the governor's bill will apply.
Probably. probably, it says notwithstanding any other law, but we will need the expertise of the AG's office before that determination.
I understand that. But so what we're saying is that the governor's bill doesn't have any qualifications whatsoever. We don't get to see his report. So someone who moves into this state, they have to be here a year?
No.
Okay, so someone who was licensed in another state moves into this state and wants to be a home inspector. If he was a home inspector in another state for a year, the governor is saying that we can license him without us ever seeing any of his work.
As long as the other state had the exact same requirements or substantially same requirements.
Okay, the person
is
currently...
But no other state does.
Let me read these highlighted ones to you.
Exactly.
Answer your question. Okay, so it's a person who establishes residence in this state. The person is currently licensed or certified in at least one other state in the discipline applied for and at the same practice level as determined by the regulating entity. And the license or certification is in good standing in all states in which the person holds a license. So the board can look at what does that other state require. The person has been licensed or certified by another state for at least 1 year. When the person was licensed or certified by the other state, there were minimum education requirements and, if applicable, work experience and clinical supervision requirements in effect. And the other state verifies that the person met those requirements in order to be licensed or certified in that state.
Does it say those requirements have to be comparable to ours? Say, for instance, we require 30 parallels. Does the other state have to have something that's close to 30 parallels?
We'll have to defer to the AG's office when we get there.
Okay, and then it'll all go through the board, and the board will decide whether or not to issue the license?
Yes.
Regardless of what the rule says?
The board can look at whether the person had a license surrendered or revoked, whether they have a criminal background. You know, it doesn't just anybody can get a license. It does have strength in it, and that person has to have, you know, something similar to the state's requirements.
With the term comparable?
Comparable.
Yeah. Right. Okay, yeah. Well, that kind of
comparable,
process.
And the board can determine that.
The board
that's
can
enough
look
wiggle
into,
room,
we'll have to ask
right?
the AG's
It is
office.
Enough wiggle room. But, okay, so the one that the board got passed, or is in the process of. Are we still going to pursue it? Because all I see it applying to is if I live in New York and I'm on my way to California and I need a little extra cash, I can jump into Arizona and do a home inspection and then take off. You see?
Well, keep in mind we have engineers, architects, land surveyors, a lot of whom live in other states.
Okay.
They get licenses.
Okay, so this is overall.
Yes.
Okay, I keep
but you still need to reside. Our bill, you don't need to reside.
No.
You could just be passing through.
You don't have to be passing through.
I mean, many of our licensees live in other states
right.
that have their licenses.
They might do a job here, but they don't live here, and they never will live here.
Or if you're living in the border, you know?
Right.
Like I lived in New York, the tri-state area. I did a lot of work in different states.
Right.
I can see that happening.
Keep in mind the architect numbers. Most of our architect licensees live out of the state.
Right.
So it's a bill that applies to different professions.
Right. So there's really no concerns about bordering states, and someone who lives in New Mexico can jump over and do an inspection in Safford, even though they're not, they're not licensed.
Well, they would have to get
licensed. They'd have to get the license.
But obviously, they would have.
If they're
to
not resident of the state, then they would have to get their license.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Under the same requirements.
Right. They'd have to go through the 5-year requirement as opposed to the 1 year.
All right.
Now, if they lived there and then moved to Arizona, you know. Then potentially, if they have the same requirements. Yeah.
My last question on that, Patrice.
Yeah.
If in fact they came in under the governor's rule, does that even come, or the board issues the license, so that wouldn't come through us at all, will it? That would go directly to the board, right?
Right, it would just go through licensing.
Licensing to the board
for
approval.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any chance the board may question something and send it back to rules and standards, or?
Always a chance.
There's always a chance.
I mean, in the end, we're going to have to get an interpretation of exactly what this law means when an application is submitted and what has to be provided. Mm-hmm. We don't have that yet.
Well, and then the big question, I think the other question would be, is the other state comparable?
Right.
What's considered comparable?
And in mind, like, isn't a report review, if it lacks, the other state lacks that requirement, that's not substantially
similar.
It's not
comparable.
So, okay.
Let's keep
our
fingers crossed.
Will we be privy to some of those decisions?
Sure.
All? Really?
Yep.
Of what constitutes comparable?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I mean, what we'll need first is what the AG's office advises on what we need to make determinations. Like most statutes right now, it's very gray.
Now, our statute, the one we put forward, was specifically for the Board of Technical Registration.
Correct.
This one's a wide-based one, so it applies to nursing and, you know, they're more concerned about that kind of stuff. Yoga instructors or whatever, haircut people, you know, all the other stuff that's regulated. So, you know, that one's more wide-based. Ours is focused just on the board, so.
Right. All right. Cool. All right, thank you.
Yes.
All right. Agenda item 5G is non-compliant home inspection report distribution. This was related to some of the reporting, the reports that tend to look like a home inspection report, but they don't actually compare or meet standards or even contain the name of a person to hold responsible for their existence. So we kind of kept it on the agenda in order to sort out how we want to address that. There have been, especially as some of the iBuyers, which is internet-based companies that buy up homes, they tend to produce reports that mimic a home inspection report, but they don't meet the standards oftentimes, and they're actually not even close, and they don't possess the name of a registrant home inspector, a home inspector that's certified by the board. So it's somewhat problematic that these documents are being circulated. The public is probably being confused by it, and we don't have anywhere to go. So I originally tried to reach out to one of them where I spotted it, and I just wanted to reach out to the company to say, you know, boy, that probably doesn't meet the state's requirements, but, you know, I just wanted to make you aware of it and kind of preemptively give a warning rather than something from the board that's punitive or whatever. But I don't know how to go about that other than the board reaching out as these events occur and reach out to those companies to say this could be a violation you might want to look into. That almost, we tabled this because you were not in attendance at the last meeting. So these are like major companies doing this, and I have some examples I've seen, and they finessed it over time. You know, at first it would be called something like an inspection summary, and that's the document, and then now it's something else like property condition assessment or, you know, some other series of words. But the bottom line is it mimics a home inspection. It's not.
Well, the board can initiate an investigation of its own on its own recognizance. The board could, if the committee believes that there's a possibility the public could be confused by this, the board could investigate a company that's doing this. The thing is with the board, it's with non-registrants especially, it's in an area where you're either violating the statutes or you're not, and the board can't really get into sort of providing direct public service to different companies that, hey, you're getting close to maybe violating our statutes. But certainly if there's one that you believe is, you know, the public may be, this may represent the unauthorized practice, the board could absolutely initiate an investigation of that.
Even if there's no registrant to submit a complaint on?
Well, this would be a matter of the unauthorized practice, in which case, realistically, what the board would be doing would be looking potentially the injunction route. But it depends. If it's something that might possibly be seen incorrectly by the public, it's going to be different from something that, you know, realistically, yeah, the public's getting fooled by this or could be getting fooled by this. So there's kind of a fine line, and we don't, from a legal standpoint, I wouldn't necessarily recommend taking on a major corporation if it's something that's obviously their legal department's been involved in coming up with whatever they've got going. And if it's something that we just think, you know, we just kind of want to warn you not to cross this gray area, the board can certainly get into overreach. Want to caution the committee and the board very much against overreach of against unregistered entities. So it's difficult to say without really seeing an example and getting an idea of what type of thing we're talking about, but it could something, the board absolutely could initiate an investigation if there's something that could constitute a violation of our practice statutes.
So the board would have to investigate it, and then it could be deemed that maybe the AG's office would write a letter to Trulia or whoever this national company might be saying you're violating our state?
No, what would happen at that point would be if there's, the board could take up an investigation if they found that it was something that constituted the unauthorized practice, then they could pursue up to $2,000 administrative penalty per violation, and the board typically would then pursue an injunction against the company to prevent them from continuing that practice, in which case I would then file an injunction with the Superior Court. But it's going to depend, again, without seeing it, it's difficult to tell really where
we
are.
We have examples.
Yeah. It'd go through the process just like any other complaint.
Okay.
If guy off the street's doing home inspections, and someone files a complaint against him, it's the same thing. Now, in this case, though, it'd be like, I'm the big corporation, I'm selling Peter a house, I give him the damage assessment report. It's not the buyer that's doing this, it's the seller, right? Mm-hmm. So you would always have the opportunity to get your home inspection.
Of course.
So I guess that, is it... I see what it is, but it's really the buyer that's given something to you.
There's a lot to be considered here. For instance, the home inspection is an animal that has been defined, okay? And it would be very easy to say this is not a home inspection. I mean, even if you brought it down to the home, we know that a home inspection has to note, or at least the agreement, and they have to have an agreement. They may not have an agreement. Why would you consider this a home inspection? And if you do have an agreement, the agreement has to reference our state standards. If it doesn't reference the state standards, there could be a case made that it's not a home inspection. It may not even say home inspection. It might say something else. I mean, so this would have to be, there's so many ways to get in and out of this as a builder that I don't even want to see any of it. I mean, it's... If the client accepts it as a home inspection and then they want to complain about the builder, David says there's no name on it, okay? So you don't even have a home inspector, okay? So it's just, to me, it's not a big problem. If a client buys a house and the home inspector gives them, oh, all these things are wrong with it, or buys a resale house and then they say all these things are wrong with it, and the client accepts that, they have the right to accept that, as long as it's not being sold as a home inspection, meeting the state standards. I mean, we have rules that define the home inspection.
Yeah, it's just the deception of the consumer. They get handed something called a property condition statement.
Right.
And it's already been inspected. Here, take a look at it. You don't need your own guy.
And I know our job is to protect the general public, but we can only protect the general public within our forte. We can't go stretching out and trying to protect every poor home inspector or every poor home buyer that buys
But we're going to see more of this with more iBuyers.
Well, then as they start to refine it and start to sell it, then we can file a complaint against something specific and address that. But right now, I don't know any. Well,
maybe a fight for another day, huh? Maybe a fight for another day.
I think so.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Agenda item number 5H is InterNACHI classes for licensing education.
We had it last time.
Oh, it was on last time.
Yeah, we did.
And that was the national education certification piece and whether or not it conformed with our state educational requirements for...
So this was a question of InterNACHI, an association for home inspectors has a curriculum and it's it is approved in many states, and they seek approval here for their courses, which this we don't really endorse actual courses individually, but that is kind of what they seek. But either way, they want their education to be acceptable to the state of Arizona for initial licensure, and our requirements for that to be approved are either the school is going to have to go through the Department of Private Post-Secondary Education, or I think the other one is the Department of Education. And when we wrote all those rules long, long ago, we were told that that was a requirement, because if ASU wants to start up, you know, a home inspection course, their Department of Education, you have to approve them. So what InterNACHI did is, there's somehow, if you go to a website on the Department of Education, they have references to endorsing agencies that are outside agencies that seem to endorse some specialties, like could be chiropractic or some other specialty, and that this agency endorses them. It is referenced on the Department of Education website, and the one that references InterNACHI's course is an agency that endorses continuing CDs, education, right, requirements or continuing education courses. And that's technically, that's not what this is. This is initial education requirements. We don't have continuing education requirements. So they reference that as their Department of Education acceptance. And so I don't know a lot about the curriculum that they have. It might be very good, it might be weak, but it probably does not address the Arizona standards, which will be a real problematic, or report writing in the state of Arizona, which is very different from other parts of the country. So that'll be an inherent trouble spot initially. They can overcome that by creating a course that would provide and fill those types of gaps. But I guess the question was for you would be, so does that that endorsement by that agency, even though it's for continuing education, does that fall into a range of acceptance for them?
I couldn't answer that off the top of my head, but if it's a matter of determining if the issue is that the board has a requirement the courses be endorsed by the Department of Education, then it's going to be a matter of the board interpreting whether or not what is on the Department of Education website constitutes an endorsement under board statute.
Right.
So it's not something that I'd really be able to answer. It's
not yet.
Okay. Board.
Can we request the interpretation?
Perhaps I can get you information on that or something, and it could be investigated a bit or whatever you think.
I think I've got some I can get
you?
To.
Do you?
Yeah, I'd be happy to look.
Oh, that's right.
InterNACHI did seek approval. They were informed that private post-secondary doesn't approve out-of-state programs, and we don't approve programs at all. We have no jurisdiction to approve or deny programs. So they were told, these are the laws. You need to be able to demonstrate. If you have somebody apply here, a home inspector, apply for a license here, they need to have documentation showing that you cover the topics, that you're accredited by the U.S. Department of Education. I forget, there was one other thing. So they have to meet all the three items in law. I don't think we've ever gotten one yet, so we have no idea whether or not they've ever been able to meet those items.
So it's going to come out to be a test case eventually. What do you have?
Keith? Does it meet the 84 hours and all the subject matters?
Yeah, they have.
They do have that.
They have all the content.
Do they meet the 11 areas of concern? That's the question, really.
I believe they do.
And if they meet the 11 areas of concern, you know, plumbing, electrical, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I don't believe that our education requires report writing. I believe that's done in parallel.
It's in the standards of practice section, really.
Standards of practice.
That's what is the line item for that.
Okay. So is the standards of practice one of our 11 areas of concern for education? Okay. Then in which case, I'm on board with that.
They'd have to beef that up.
But they would have to adopt the ASHI standards.
They would have to teach the ASHI standards. Not necessarily.
They're not going to do that.
No. There you go.
So maybe you'll want to fight this. I don't know.
Well, maybe it would be good for disciplinary action, for peer review, disciplinary action, not peer review. Maybe it would be a good source to send a guy off to learn more about electrical, or send a guy off to learn more about any one of those areas.
Yeah, I would think it would apply for those disciplinary
actions. I mean, continuing education disciplinary action seem to go hand in hand with
So then, when a test case comes, can you explain what the likely?
We would essentially notify Scott to see if it's meeting the law. It could be that we have to take it to the board for the board to determine. But right now, we don't even have anything. I will tell you, they were putting one of them, not all of International. Apparently, one person associated was putting it out there that they were approved by the board. We had a lot of communications that said you haven't been approved. You just have been told that if you meet the standards in law, you know, and if you have somebody who takes your course and they want to apply, they're going to have to prove that that course meets the standards in law. And they did remove any comments stating that they were approved by Arizona.
So then when the board determines that it's got to be ascertained whether it is meeting the requirements, what happens then? Does it go to Peter and he makes the choice?
I would actually go with my teacher's advice.
a test case on this will probably be because somebody comes in applying and is denied, and then there's going to be an issue then because of the denial of the application. So there may not be any easy remedy. It's not necessarily a matter of the board saying we approve this course, because that determination may even have to be made on a semester basis. The course may change. There may be. It's not necessarily a matter of prospectively stating, you know, this is it forever. It may be you've come with these qualifications. We've looked at your qualifications and don't believe that you meet our requirements. So it may be a lot more reactive than proactive.
So we wait for that application to come in? Is that the
We don't know it'd be denied, right? Everybody's going to have to sort it out.
If they can show they meet the standard law. We have other courses that aren't in the state and aren't approved by private post-secondary. They've got their accreditation. I mean, a lot of them are online courses, and one of the three requirements is they be approved by the online accrediting course.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So that's the one that also creates a complication, is that the third way to be endorsed or an acceptable form of education to the state is that it be approved by this accrediting agency for all of the online courses, and they don't possess that. At least I don't think they do at this point.
They have one that's under the U.S. Department of Education.
Yes.
But we have gotten ones that are approved by DEAC, but the person didn't take the pools and spa, so we've had them had to take a supplemental course just to meet that standard as well. So
okay,
that's something we do look at.
All right, we'll probably start coming at some point.
I just have a question on the licensing part. When you get an application, do you look at the school and do you guys verify that they are?
We do, yes.
Endorsed?
There's typically four schools that come in, but when we get one outside of that, we have to investigate
and the online ones and all.
DEAC.
Right.
Exactly.
So then just if the review comes in, so that's the complication, it's got the Department of Education, but it's online and it's not the, and it's also under a CEU or continuing education component or endorsement from the Department of Education, and then, but it doesn't have the online education accreditation. That is what our intent when we put that in was, if you're going to be online, this is what you need to possess. And so that was the spirit of those provisions in rule, and just we're in a new day now. So. Okay, so it sounds like it's you guys' problem, and at least initially. All right, thank you.
Rob knows to let us know if one shows up.
Yeah, good call. All right, thank you. And then the next one is item 5I, update on GERC petition regarding parallel inspectors.
Peter and I appeared before GERC twice, last week and the week before, to answer questions about the definition of parallel inspectors and why we, as the committee and the board, determined 5 years was the best standard and incorporated it into the rule. We did have the opportunity to explain that we posted the rules 17 different times between this committee and the board meeting, and that Mr. Smith was invited and then did not appear. We made our arguments and answered questions, and what GIRC determined is what I handed out to you this morning, that we did our due diligence in posting, and they determined that 5 years was too arbitrary and lowered the year requirement to 3 years. So what we have is GIRC's determination, but I don't know how that becomes effective, whether we need to open a rules docket to change it officially, or if GIRC's vote from last week is the final determiner, if we just file something with Secretary of State's office. So I've requested guidance from them regarding how we make this effective. Mm-hmm. And I'll defer to Peter for any other remarks.
The board voted on two items. Number one, did the board do its job? And in fact, they said they did. They substantially complied with all the sections conducting for rulemaking, okay? Number two, was it excessively or unduly burdensome, okay? And no matter how hard I tried, and it was very tough, I did it twice at the board, I did it twice in front of the council, I couldn't get enough people to realize that the 5 years is very, very important, okay? It was on a question and answer basis. They grilled us for quite a while. It was on a question and answer basis. And so I didn't have the opportunity to interject the experience you get over 5 years of how to approach a house, how to take care of a house, how to approach a seller, for instance, how to not break things, all right? Methods that the parallel inspector will teach you over, that you'll learn in, you know, over 5 years of being in business. And to keep yourself out of trouble. So I never got into that with them, but I did let them know that we feel that the 5 years was very, very important so that you have equity in the business, that you're not gonna be doing parallels today and be gone tomorrow, for instance. However, it was a very hostile board, council. There were at least two council members that wanted to obliterate the law completely, and I feel this is a major success for the BTR, for the Rules and Standards Committee, in dropping it to 3 years. We still have the other requirements of being doing 250 paid inspections, being clean with the board for 3 years, and now it's being in business for 5 years. I will never agree with Mr. Smith that the 5 years was not required. However, as hard as I tried, with many, many different avenues of approaching this, and not getting myself thrown out, okay, even though I did respectfully disagree with one of the council members, okay. I want to congratulate Melissa because she presented the first half of this case, which was that the board didn't do its due diligence and they determined that it did. And then I consider my half of the business, my half of the problem a success because we still have the rule and we still have 3 years.
Okay. I was there, just my input. I think it's very important that we still have the 3 years. Essentially, if it had been voided, a person who got licensed today could turn around and be teaching tomorrow. Whether or not that person knows what they're doing, we've had people who are on probation who could have gone back to teaching. So I think consumers and applicants are still protected, and that was the primary goal, is to protect the applicants and the consumers.
Great. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Appreciate you. Well, thank Melissa. She's the one who succeeded.
Peter, too.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
It was fun. I would do it again.
No.
but this time I would force my way into statements as opposed to answering questions.
For the implementation of that change, I contacted the state. They said all you have to do is file the paperwork and it'll be implemented with Secretary of State or something like that. Wasn't that one of your questions?
We'll need to hear it directly from them, and we haven't heard it from them.
Okay, that would be best.
So will you guys put out an email blast when we can do that, or how's that going to be?
Check the website would be my guess. Check the website when it comes up online.
Our website and our Facebook page.
So no peer, no, we don't go to that until you guys post that, right?
It's filed with the Secretary of State, isn't it?
Correct.
That's public record. It's out there somewhere.
Correct. If that's what we're supposed to do.
The rule stands.
So we can go ahead and do it?
The rule stands at 5 years. So I wouldn't do anything until the rule gets changed to 3 years.
Okay.
And that will be posted on the website. That the rule has now taken 2 years off of the time qualification.
Right.
So until then, I would hold the 5 years.
And that's what I'm doing. Okay, great.
Okay. Thank you again. Item number 5J, review website redesign.
And that's something Dolly has up on the screen for you. This is a project that Kurt took upon himself to make the website more user-friendly and interactive for the public, as well as for, as you can see, applicants and registrants. So if you're applying for home inspection registration, there's a tab, obviously, you click and you can go down to the home inspector applicants section. It just, we think, will be more user-friendly for people to see everything in one area. And
It's 100% more intuitive than the last site, and we get way less phone calls about it. Even submitting a complaint is under for public. If we scroll up a little bit, there's a for public. So if you're not a registrant, an applicant or whatever, you'll see the for the public at the top, and they'll click there and they can submit complaints or look up disciplinary action, search for firms. And also on the main page is a firm search, registrant search, and disciplinary action search. So those are what people will log in here for. So Kurt did a really good job of putting the keys. About 90% of what's used is just right there for people. So it's a big deal, yeah.
So it costs something less than $1 million?
Yes, it did.
And it works.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Wow.
And so very, you know, as simple. Well, now when you search disciplinary actions, the final board orders against registrants are available for the public to see.
They're up.
They are up. So that's a big accomplishment and something that will hopefully make the public happy, so they can actually see the action that the board took against any of our licensees. So this is what would come up, and you can click
on, it,
on
the document.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Wow, that's awesome.
And obviously they can print that if they want. They still have the ability to call the board and ask specific information, you know, questions and all about anything they still have questions about, but the document at least is available to the public. Yeah, so we're pretty excited. We are in the last throes of also getting online renewals up and running. I know Rob just emailed today.
He just responded, said he's busy with something else, but yeah, they have the outline's there. We can test it. It's, I want to say it's close, but we said that a long time ago. So it's, there's something to test right now, and it looks good. And it works too. When you get to the end, it's just not.
Okay, so we're currently testing, and I know last week when it became available, we had several questions and things needed to be fixed. Obviously, again, not cost us $1 million, which is good. And it will be publicly facing, so it should look a lot like if you were ordering something off the internet through Amazon. You go to, you know, the cart, exactly. You can pay with credit cards, and you will get a receipt emailed to you. For us on the back end, the work remains pretty much the same because it's not automated for us yet. We will need to spend $1 million to get a system that will input that information automatically and electronically into our database. But that's for another day, at least right. For public convenience. We will outwardly facing look like we are a more modern
is this active now, Melissa, or is it beta, or what's the status?
It's beta. It's just we're testing it right now. It looks just like this site. You click, you can submit a payment, and then what it's going to do is upload a spreadsheet, and we work off that to show that you've paid, and then we manually update your account and put all that information.
This version's active right now.
Yes.
The online payment is not active.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. All right. Great. Thank you.
We're in a testing right now.
And again, that will show up in the menu?
Eventually, yeah. Once we verify.
With the same format, pretty much?
It'll look exactly like it.
Right. And you did this in-house?
This is being done by Asset, so yes, it's the state of Arizona's doing it for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Their IT department.
All right. Should we get $1 million back?
Yeah. I'm still working on that.
I read something about that.
Do you need some strong arms?
I might.
Mario and Luigi from the Bronx?
Yeah.
Bring them over?
Yep. So we're pleased to be able to provide this sort of service to the public for, you know, just more information about the registrants that we are working with, both positively and negatively, I guess.
And this is the firm registration is going to be inclusive on the online renewal for the firm?
We're going to get there right now. Actually, it's the firm and then the renewals
the
only. There's no applications
testing
yet, but those are the big ones, firm and registrant. Yeah.
I mean, the applications will still be the same old application
process.
So
we're still paper applications.
Correct.
Oh, really?
Yes, because that will, as we learned with Geo Solutions, take a lot to automate. So we thought, you know, let's parcel out what we can do immediately and what affects our registrant base most immediately and directly is renewals.
Yep.
So that's what we're...
Applications they can go on there and just download the form as they find out themselves.
I am not a robot.
Right.
It'd be nice to see who.
Yeah, so I mean, you can still get the applications online. You just have to download them, fill them out, either drop them off or mail them in. So that's still old fashioned, and that, you know, obviously we'll try to incorporate in the new computer system.
What if they pay and they don't send that in? They're not renewed until you receive the paperwork as well?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
When you do automate that, you need a little box that says, I am not a robot.
Okay. We'll work that right in.
There's some little pictures you have to click.
Right.
Click the buses.
Right. Or the street signs.
I hate that.
I know. They're geared towards engineers. So hopefully, if you get remarks or comments, they will be positive about, you know, what the board's able to provide to the registrant population, which, you know, is a good thing.
Great.
So
really good stuff.
Finally.
It's good stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Item number 5K is builder restrictions on home inspectors.
Right, so this was tabled and seeking the opinion of the AG's office.
This is really a legislative matter.
Uh-huh.
The issue is, and I understand the board got together in good faith with the ROC to try to discuss some issues. There are some issues with ROC either having insurance requirements of home inspectors or not granting access.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we don't regulate contractors. We have no authority over them whatsoever.
Right, of course.
And they're not, from what I've been advised, they're not breaching any of their or violating any of their statutes or rules. The legislature certainly can get involved, but absent that, we really don't have anything that we can do because nobody's violating any of our statutes or rules.
So regardless of the level of anti-consumerism, let's call it, AG office wouldn't be interested in picking a dog in the fight kind of thing, unless someone is actually harmed or.
There's nothing the board can do anything about with.
Well, yeah, I realize from a board jurisdiction.
In terms of the AG's office itself, unless there were consumer complaints coming in or something like that, that would. You know, if there were consumer complaints, consumers could certainly complain to the AG's office to try to initiate some kind of an action, but otherwise there really isn't a...
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the industry take on legislation requiring a home inspection prior to the sale of a home? I know now it's voluntary, but I don't know if the industry, like maybe the realtors, would take that up, because from our discussion with ROC, that was what they hung their hat on, saying home inspections aren't required. If they were, I wonder if the builders would be more amenable, you know?
It's pretty good to go to the realtors when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because right now, many of the realtors' contracts or paperwork at least are saying, are making them sign away their lives if they don't do a home inspection. So they may, if you want to make a home inspection mandatory and then force this issue, the realtor association would be a great place to start. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that got us into this mess 20 years ago.
That's right. So maybe they can help us with some of these larger philosophical issues.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go.
But the realtor,
forcing someone to get a home inspection, I mean,
you don't think the brokers,
I
don't think it should either. I mean, I don't want to be forced into doing something.
Yeah,
you're buying a house, you have to get a home inspection. Screw you, I don't want to do it. I'm the home buyer. I mean, I do whatever I want. So,
well, I agree with you.
You know, forcing someone to do something, that's not going to pass.
I premise this.
At least now it's not.
If you want this, okay, that would be a way to go. But they right now are making them sign disclaimers. I didn't want a home inspection.
Right, and that's perfectly fine. But the consumer still has the right to have it or not.
Right.
You know, I want to do it, I'll do it. If I don't want to do it. And that goes almost back to the electronic, you know, home assessments or whatever. You know, you're buying a house from someone online.
Mm-hmm.
They give you this thing. Okay, I accept it, or I can hire my own person. It's your choice. You can do whatever you want. You just have to accept the consequences for your actions.
The trouble is, in new construction, you can't. These builders are stopping you from having that option to hire a home inspector by simply making it so impossible to get a home inspector out.
Right, but once again, you know, the consumer could go to the builder and demand it if they want to buy the house. I mean,
if they've signed the contract, they have no leverage whatsoever. So that, you know, the consideration is the consumers are getting trampled on here. And the one angle I was looking at is, if on a resale inspection, the contract must conform to the standards of the Arizona Association of or the ADRE or the Arizona Association of Realtors, AAR, the contract conforms to that. But when it's a builder as the seller, then there's no requirement for compliance of the purchase agreement to those standards. And of course, those standards include a period of discovery and a 10-day contingency.
Mm-hmm.
And but there may not be any way around that. You know, obviously the builder contract is totally anti-consumer, and it's getting more so. And this is a manifestation, frankly, of that. Just one manifestation, the home inspection, regardless of the other ways that the buyers get trampled on. They have the belief that the home is going to be perfect, that everything is going to be done, my house is going to look like the model, and that's nowhere near reality.
That's probably an ROC. That's an ROC issue,
right? And the ROC is not going to be taking that up,
right? Well, because you know they're big builders and they have the power, but it's an ROC issue, not a state board issue, kind of.
But
thing.
There's nothing from a contractual real estate agreement that could make the builders adhere to. It sounds like, in other words, a minimum standard for a purchase contract. We have that in resale. We don't have that in new construction. There's probably no way to address that component of it, I'm guessing.
Not by anything that this board has any authority
over. Right. Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, I mean, and I'm thinking more the AG's office than this board, I guess. But and I don't want to get too far out in the tangential, you know, legal aspect. But it sounds like you know, I put a letter in the upcoming on this, the builder restrictions that's coming out in the next newsletter, And I'll continue to solicit input from our 872 home inspectors in the state. But this is a trend, and we're not going back. It's just getting worse. And before long, the builders won't allow inspections at all. And they're going to wind up pushing our hand at some point. So we're just going to have to wind up looking for some consumer who's been harmed and then try to elevate this case. Is there any better option than that?
No.
Not that the board has any legal ability to.
I've been telling my clients if to wait till the 1 year. The only problem with that is, of course, they lose their leverage.
Right. They give them all the money.
They already have the money, right. And they get put on the bottom of the list for punch list items.
Right.
If, in fact, they ever get done. I'm going out for my third reinspection on roof nailing. Just roof nailing. Okay, on a 5 and 12 pitch, because they keep leaving notes on the doors, we fixed it. And I keep going back and saying, no, they didn't fix it.
Right.
And so these people have no leverage. And I feel sorry for them, but I don't know what else to do except just keep going back.
Any other recommendations from the AG's office on this? Okay.
Unfortunately,
no. Okay. All right.
You're charging me for that.
No. Sounds like an area of law that has potential.
All right, I don't
growth possibilities.
Thank you.
We'll keep monitoring this, but maybe there may not be anything else we can do right now on it.
Okay. Agenda item 6 is the director's report, and it's starting on our 17th page of our document here. It looks like that was maybe a month ago, or not quite.
This was the March one. The board looked at this last month, and Kurt hasn't updated the numbers for me, but I'm pleased he put it in for you to review. You can see, obviously, we processed 7 new applications and 69 renewals for home inspectors last month. Paul already noted we have 872 home inspectors licensed, and we have 534 home inspection firms registered. Our enforcement actions, you'll see we have 16 open complaints against home inspectors out of the 62 open cases. And I'm not sure if any of the non-registrant cases are against home inspectors, but I don't think so.
Typically not.
Right. And so we are busy regulating home inspectors.
Yeah. And that was one of the issues with that other thing, was how many home inspectors there are, 872. And right now we have 16 complaints. That's a pretty high percentage of.
Yeah.
It's the public's fault.
Yeah.
Well, and your profession is
public
facing.
Some of it is.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And you guys interact a lot with the public, and so that's why we know we get a lot of complaints.
Right.
And
do these include ones that get screened for not part of the standards or things like that? Does it get registered as a complaint?
Yes.
Even though it's going to be responded to?
Yes.
Okay.
And when we get the complaints, obviously Doug is triaging them and assigning them to the investigators. They gather evidence, obviously, related to the complaint, and then it will go to an assessor. And oftentimes an assessor or two will say, oh, and the report didn't meet the standards for these reasons. That information is provided to the respondents so that they can provide whatever evidence or response to those allegations, and then it is considered by the EAC. So when it goes up to the board for final action, the report deficiencies are noted.
So there are some that staff can even screen,
mm-hmm.
like if they are complaining about mold specifically outside the scope of a home inspection, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the only thing,
right?
Any jurisdiction.
Right.
So then does it get counted in here too, though? No, it's kind of screened.
If it doesn't get opened up, it's not going to be on that.
I see. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Can I ask, what happened between 2018 and 2019 on non-registrant complaints? It kind of like skyrocketed from 1 to 14.
Oh, Yeah.
Those are open cases.
Yeah, because the 2018s are closed.
Right, so.
Oh, they closed, okay.
We are only.
So only one pen carrying.
Right, yes. We're only investigating at this point complaints that were opened in 2018, and the majority of which are 2019 cases.
I see.
So there's only one still pending against a non-registrant. And actually, we need to be proud of this because our complaints are pretty current. Investigatively,
yes.
You know, a lot of agencies have much older complaint investigations going, but our investigators are processing them pretty quickly. So,
yeah, this is great because when I first started on the board, we were looking at cases that are like 8 years old.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it was
yeah.
like, how do you even talk to someone about this?
And right,
they were so old that yeah. no one knew anything about them or remembered anything
Dead.
About them.
So there's right. nothing left for home inspectors from 2018. That's very
correct.
Good.
Correct. They're
that's
all current
in March, April.
2019 cases. So
nice.
Yeah, we're really good with that. Enforcement's really doing a great job.
And is this calendar or is this fiscal?
It's calendar.
Okay.
So even though we operate on a fiscal year. Whatever reason, we inherited the calendar year complaints.
Okay.
I don't know why that started, but yeah. Anyway, and obviously if you have questions about anything else on in the director's report, I'm happy to try to answer.
Very nice.
See, Jason, I didn't talk very much.
I already heard it all.
You were very courteous and friendly.
We didn't have to talk about GL solutions, so that
yeah, we don't
narrowed it down a lot.
Right.
Yeah, that's I read that.
Sometimes the abbreviations get me though. Like, what is NCARB?
That's the National Architect Registration Board Council.
And what's WCARB?
That's WestCARB. That's the Western Region Architects Board. Yeah, they're the bane of my existence.
What's CLARB?
CLARB. That's the Council for Landscape Architect Registration Boards. Yes. And if you want yours in here, too, I'm happy to include them.
Every now and then, just one time, you write it up.
Yeah, ASBOG is the geologist. NCES is the
engineers
and surveyors.
And surveyors.
Yeah. ASBOG are the geologists.
Right.
That's funny. The BOG.
ASBOG, right.
Yeah. Okay,
and
Clark
we belong to these organizations because we have to rely on their exams. So,
mm-hmm.
and our candidates.
Except WestCARB.
Except WestCARB.
We have to
which,
belong to WestCARB just
right,
for money.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, they crank me up now.
Well, y'all speak a funny language.
Oh, yeah. And they're married to their. So that's what they are. But we are invited to their annual meetings because we are their voting block. We have to approve all of their dues increases and other things. So they invite our board members to attend. And
they like those acronyms.
They do, very much so.
Even though, even an ASBOG?
Even ASBOG, right.
Yeah, I'm an ASBOG, baby.
Yeah. Actually, the geologists are super nice. They really are.
They're in the bog.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
okay. Perfect.
Very nice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for that. Next agenda item is committee chairman's report. I have nothing to report because I was a good boy and I put it all in the agenda.
Very nice.
And then next is future agenda items. And I kind of circled A, B, D, F, and I.
Mm-mm.
The only reason I is to
be sure I got rid of
just did it get filed or however that's going.
Yeah.
I could drop that if you need to. I don't need to vote that much.
You want to continue talking about A?
Structure.
Oh, for a substantive policy?
No, right.
Yeah, that's right. That's the reason is for substantive policies.
Oh,
you're
right. Okay.
Right.
Dave had noted an interest in writing one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I don't know. And so B, we kind of beat that up, but I was wondering if a substantive policy statement, if we feel that the, since nobody's reading the report checklist supplement where it clearly states if the average human can sort out that it's positive or negative,
I don't know if we can do a substantive policy statement on a document that's only an aid and not a rule.
No, I'm saying that appears service. The question of how to approach things that are positive or negative and maybe even expand it to discourage the reporting of things as satisfactory and going on to list all the problems with it. You know, so there's possibly a place for a substantive policy statement
could
on that.
A little messy, though.
They're all messy. Yeah. Try writing one.
Yeah, I know.
I just did. It was fun.
Mr. Chair, something like that might be more appropriate for the newsletter, for kind of a general, if you're looking more of a general education type of a piece, as opposed to a substantive policy statement is more interpreting a statute or a rule. So if you're looking more to kind of educate the population of home inspectors, something for the newsletter.
When's the next newsletter due out?
Pretty soon.
That's what I say when they ask me when the report's going to be ready.
That's what we all say.
Take 2 weeks.
Monday. So then I don't tell them what Monday.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just pull
it. Remember
the
that, Jason.
Pretty soon is about as good as the second Tuesday of next week.
Does everybody agree A, D, F, and I?
Recommend not leaving beyond there.
Okay.
Go to a peer serviceable statement, I think.
In the newsletter?
Yeah, I mean, put it in the newsletter, but maybe not.
If you want to clarify it, but it seems to me you're clarifying if it's just one gentleman. And I would hardly even.
Yeah, I think that, and it is just a matter of education, but a lot of inspectors don't understand it. They can use virtually any word they want, mm-hmm. You know, horse, dog, and whatever, as long as you define it somewhere, you know.
Some reports are using just icons now.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's not a word, it's an icon. It could be a stop sign, a little guy. You know, nothing says we can't do that, right?
Mr. Bill.
So then that's the only
emoticon. Emoji.
Emoji. A little poop
guy,
emoji.
Yeah, or the tongue out or the smiley one. All that's right. What Peter's new report's going to be now.
General assessment.
Smiley face, the flat line face, and the poop one. That's
okay.
That's
your three. You've degraded now.
All right. Well, that was our fun for the day.
Yes.
So. Do we have that clear then?
Yes.
And we agree? A, D, F, and I, future agenda items. So it appears to me that we are approaching kind of our last, or maybe 2 months from now, another meeting, and then we kind of take a little bit of a longer break over the summer typically, because people are traveling and all of that. So if I'm not mistaken, if it's April, we do a June
meeting?
I think so.
Okay.
We've historically done that. And then we might wait till September or something like that. September and then November we usually do. So if you agree, then let's look at
what month
June.
You
look
at? June?
June. I propose the 11th, 12th, or 13th.
I agree.
I want to say the 11th.
Okay.
6-11.
6-11. And is the board's meeting start at 9:30 as well?
Nine.
They're faster drivers.
I will struggle on the 23rd. So I don't know. We'll talk about that after. So we have our future meeting and future agenda items. And we just have one more item of business.
What I make a motion to adjourn.
Yes, sir.
Second that motion.
Any objections to that?
Object.
All over. Thank you.
Strenuously object.
Okay, so can one of you fellas do the board meeting to babysit the...
What are you babysitting?
The Windows one?
Windows.
Oh, good.
To record.
Well, I just...